Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Well, I've got a message that I think I need to speak straight into this. If you are here for the very first time today, you just need to just give us a moment, because today as a family, it's a really important time for Lifehouse. And there is going to be something in there for you, I assure you, but I must be really honest and say that this message is for the family today, because it is important for us and our future and the vision of our church. Last week, I would have loved to have brought a little bit of this message, but I just saw way too many new people in the room because of the baby dedications. We had seven young people being dedicated, and when I saw all your family members and people who don't know the Lord, I just thought, you know what, that message can wait. Let's just preach the gospel and let's get some people giving their life to Jesus. And you know what, it was such a good thing to do. But a message like this is important because we need to know the why behind the what. And so I just want to be able to bring that to you today. So would you bow your heads with me and let's pray. Father, I thank you for every person in this place. Lord, I know that people are here for a reason. You've got them here because you want them to be here. And so, Lord God, I just pray today that we will just take a huge leap forward as a church. Lord, bless this word. Please use this preacher to bring us your word in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, I want to start off with Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. And you may have read these before. I'm just going to unpack a little bit of this passage for us today. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, how many? One of great value. He went away, sold everything he had, and he bought the pearl. These parables are actually preceded by some other parables, and they're actually known as the kingdom parables. It's where Jesus tries to explain to us what the kingdom of heaven is like. Yeah. Do you know, they say that if you're going to be a preacher, you have to be very careful when preaching on the parables of Christ, because you can easily preach into them and it's actually not what Jesus designed the parables to be. They actually say you ought to wait a long time as a preacher, because you need to understand that parables are always teaching us something that should always be matched up with the entire Word of God. They are not to be taken out of context and then to just be used. And it's very easy to do, because you can often, if you don't know what they call the entire counsel of God, if you don't know what the Bible says from the front to the back, you can easily, out of context, preach something out of the parables because it sounds good, but it's actually not the truth. Wow. Yeah. And I've got to be honest, when it comes to these particular passages, I wouldn't say that I was in complete error, but then again, I would like to say that maybe it's not what Jesus was actually trying to say within these parables. In my early years, I actually would have taught you that in this particular passage or this parable, that the person who is seeking the pearl is us. And when we find that treasure, or when we find that pearl, we get so excited about it that we would do anything to invest into that pearl, because that pearl is Jesus and that pearl is the gospel. And we're so happy that we found it, that we would invest in it. And it's not an unusual thought. I wouldn't say it's an undoctrinal thought. Except that I don't think it's what Jesus is actually saying in that parable. So sorry about that. Some of you still think that that's what it means, because that's probably what I taught you. And once again, I wouldn't say it's an evil thought. Except that when you want to understand the Bible, can I just do a little bit of Bible college on you? Is that okay, everybody? A little bit of college for you? In the law of interpretation, When you're trying to interpret the Bible, there's a couple of laws that you have to employ, otherwise you can easily find yourself in error. Okay? So are you all ready for this? One of the main doctrines when interpreting the Bible simply goes like this. It's called the law of expositional consistency. Expositional consistency. And it simply goes like this. Whenever you see Jesus give us a parable and then he unpacks it and tells us what it really means, then you can always assume that when he comes to another parable and uses that same illustration, then it would usually mean the same thing in the next parable. So Jesus unpacks the parable of the sower. He unpacks that for us just a few verses earlier. And he actually tells us a few things and what they mean. For example, the seed is the word of God. So whenever you see the word seed or that word used in a parable from there on, you could safely assume that he's talking about the word of God. When we talk about the birds, Jesus said it was the birds of the air that came and stole the seed. That represents evil. And you actually see that throughout the whole Bible. That birds, not that birds are evil, for those pigeon lovers, okay? So, right, it's just Jesus, you know, I think he's specifically talking about crows. Crows are from the devil. Let me just tell you that, right? Sorry if you're a crow lover or an Adelaide supporter, one or the other. It's same thing, it's evil. Jesus says the field, he says the field represents the world. He tells us that. And so the parable of the sower gives us a whole lot of meaning here. And so when we use that and we apply that to verses 44 to 46, we start to see something that changes everything. Are you ready for it? Yeah. So when we start to apply those pictures, we start to see, okay, so the field is the world. And the treasure is there, but this is something that we need to understand. It says that somebody went seeking the treasure, they found it in the world. So here it is. Who's the seeker then? Guys, the Bible makes it very clear, we didn't find God, he found us. The Bible says very clearly, we didn't go seeking God, he came seeking us. While we were still yet sinners, Jesus came and died for us. He is the seeker in this story. Yeah, very good. It's not us seeking a treasure. It's Jesus who is seeking the treasure. And then he finds the treasure. And when he finds the treasure, listen to what he does. He doesn't just buy the treasure. He has to buy the whole field to buy the treasure. So here it is. If the seeker is Jesus and the field is the world, then what is the treasure that he is seeking? Very simply, guys, it's you and me. We are the pearl of great price. Here I am teaching that the pearl of great price is the kingdom of God, but actually we are the whole reason that Jesus came to this earth. He came to the field seeking treasure. But listen, in order for him to buy the treasure, he couldn't just buy the treasure. Did you notice in the story, he didn't just buy the treasure. He had to back up and he had to buy the field before he could buy the treasure. What does that mean? Jesus wanted to forgive you and me of our sin, but for him to have a relationship with us, he had to forgive the sin of the whole world first so that then he could actually seek the treasure that he was after. I think he deserves a huge round of applause. We are the pearl of great price. Your brother, your sister, your father, your mother, your children, we are the pearl. We are the treasure that he was seeking. Bruno Mars had it right. We are the treasure. That is what, turn to the person beside you, treasure. That is what you are. You are Jesus' golden star. Yeah, we've even got it being sung here right on the front row, guys. Amen. Guys, this is what I want us to understand, this miracle offering. This is what I want us to understand. Jesus wanted the treasure, but to get the treasure, he had to buy the whole field. The treasure is people. And we are commanded to be like Christ. Actually, I want to be like Christ. Does anyone else in this room want to be like Jesus? Do you know, if you want to be like Jesus, we need to value what he values. We need to love what he loves. We need to hate what he hates. Jesus hates judgment. We ought to hate judgment too. Jesus hates hypocrisy. We ought to hate hypocrisy. You know, it's okay to hate. Just hate the right things. Jesus loves people. We ought to love people. And here we see that Jesus is saying, I'm coming to seek treasure, but to get the treasure, I need to buy the field. I want to be like Jesus. And if he gave up everything, everything, to buy the treasure, then shouldn't I be contributing something to help continue to buy the treasure? Shouldn't I be doing something? Now, you know what? For some people, they do give it all up. But I think in a room like this, we would understand that Jesus gave up everything so the church could be established. What we continue to give helps it to flourish. And that's been the absolute truth. He buys the whole field to gain the treasure. Did you notice that the treasure was hidden? It was hidden in the field. It wasn't obvious. You had to go seeking it. You had to go find it. Do you know, when Helen and I first bought our home, we bought an investment property. Some of you have heard this story. And when we bought this investment property, we were trying to do some renovations on it. And as we were doing some renovations, one of the young guys in our church said, what are you doing today? I said, oh, we're just cleaning up the front of our home. And he said, ah, come on, your time is worth far much more than that. Go get someone from Jim's Mowing to go and clean up. I said, no, it's okay. Anyway, as we were cleaning up the garden, we found this purse. Now, remember, we bought the home. The person who owned the house had already passed away, okay? Did you hear that part? They had already passed away, okay? We bought the home. We had bought the home. It was now our property, and the person who owned it had passed away, okay? So we're cutting all the vegetation out and everything else that was there and all the weeds and we find this black purse hidden like a treasure. And so we pull it out, and as we opened it up, it was all slimy, been there for years, and we opened it up and there's all these green things. Yet lots and lots of plasticky, lucky for plastic money. And there was almost $10,000 in that. Luckily, I didn't get Jim's to come and do my mowing that day. You know, we found treasure. You know what? There is a couple that were walking their dog in California. Some of you may have read this article. Have a look at this. California couple find $10 million in gold coins. There was just a little tin can hanging out of a beach. As they're walking along, they decided to dig up what that tin can is, and they actually discovered that there were coins that were minted in like the 1700s, and it was worth 10. So the point is, go for a walk more often with your partner, guys. That's the point of today's story. God bless you. Have a great week, everybody. It's amazing what you can find. And you know, when I think of our miracle offering, do you know what we are doing? We are on a journey with Jesus. We are on a journey with him. And this is what we are doing. We don't have the right to buy people. Only God can buy salvation for people. What we can do is buy the field. What we can do is be involved in the field where the treasure is. And buying buildings, working in schools, helping out in our community is simply investing into the field. Why? So that we can buy the property so that Jesus can come and start seeking out the investment and the gold and anything else that may be in there. I don't know about you, but I see today as something so significant, because what we're saying is, Jesus, we are with you. What we are doing, hey, I know that many of you would say, well, we love you, Pastor Richard, that's great, but let me tell you who I'm doing this for. I'm doing this for him. Yeah. I'm doing this so that we can continue to find the treasure, which is people and people coming into a relationship with God. Amen. Yeah. That's what this miracle offering is all about. Do you know what you love, you give to. I used to work for a company that was a boutique investment company. And this company was doing great. And I was their customer service manager. I was also the person that wrote out the checks to pay the bills. My manager, the owner comes in and he says, can you please pay this? and I saw it, and it was a Carlton Football Club. Do you want to give us a donation? And I thought, oh, okay. So I said to him, how much do you want to send to them? He said, give them $70,000. $70,000 to a football club.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why would you do that? Because he loved them, and what you love, you give to. And that was, you know, I don't know about you, but $70,000 to see a leather football get kicked from there to there, really?
Yeah.
But for him, it was more than just that. He actually wanted to see a cup being held up. It wasn't about the football game, it was about premierships. Now, unfortunately, bad investment for him. Bad investment. Terrible investment for that man. I'm just hoping that we can be people who have the same heart, who want us to be able to hold up people and say, God, look at the treasure that we've been able to bring into your kingdom. Only because we've invested it. You know, you can't, he understood, you can't buy a premiership. I know some of you think that we do as the cup. We used to in the old days. We don't buy premierships anymore. Do you know, all he was doing was investing in a club, and the club themselves have to win the premiership. Do you know all we are doing as a church when it comes to miracle offering? We're funding God's house. We're funding the works of God so that he can do what only he can do, and that is to bring salvation into people's hearts and minds. Amen. So here's the question for us all. Jesus was moved with compassion for people. When you wake up every morning, if you're wondering, God, what is it that you want me to do? I'm gonna teach you something this morning that's gonna really help you. Are you ready, East? Here it is. If you're wondering what your purpose is, it's always to do with loving people. Because God doesn't love buildings, God doesn't love technology, God doesn't love anything, but he loves people. God loves people. He didn't come to save a building, he came so that people could be in the building. He loves people. And our purpose is always going to be linked to people. What motivates us? Why do I continue to pastor this church with my wife? Let me tell you why. It's not so that we can have better looking buildings and LED panels. That's not why we do it. I want to see God do a miraculous work in you and your family and your children and your cousins and your brother and your sister. I want to see God do something miraculous. That's what motivates me. I'm sure he won't mind me saying this. Well, actually, I know for a fact because we've already talked about it. But there was a man who was at my house just recently, and he was doing the carpet cleaning. And my son was there. And my son started asking him, and this man's a part of our church. And he said, hey, you know, so tell me a little bit about your background. How did you end up at church? And he said, you know, I came to church because I was suffering depression like you wouldn't believe, to the point where I was contemplating suicide. He says, but you know what? That was 10 years ago. And my life has changed so much since then. I can't believe that I even used to think like that. Friends, that's what Lifehouse is all about. That's what we are doing in this place. But because previous generations had bought the field, Jesus was able to do his work. That's what we are doing here today. Friends, there are some people in this room, you would say you're in the same boat. But let me tell you right now, there is a young lady out there somewhere. There is a young man, there's an older man. Right now, they are contemplating the same thing. But I believe that God is going to be able to reach them, to touch them, if we would just continue to step forward and do what we can do so that he can do what only he can do. Let's give him a huge round of applause. Come on. I think of a young man called Anthony. In our church, who he will tell you didn't have a great father figure. He will tell you didn't know how to be a man because his dad wasn't really around for him. And as a young man, he comes into our church, and the young men and the fathers of this house start loving him, start speaking hope over him. He tells me that one person said to him, if you were my son, I'd be so proud of you. He reckons that one comment changed his life. Someone values me, someone loves me. Friends, that's what we're doing in this place. We're adding value to people because that's the treasure that Jesus is seeking. That's the treasure. I'm just going to keep coming back to this very simple point. So what's our part? we don't do the healing part. We don't even do the, we don't do the miraculous. All we do is buy the field. We just continue to buy fields because the treasure is in the field. Amen. There's a man in this church. He's a businessman. I'm going to leave his name out of it because actually it describes so many business people. Doing so well financially, yet he would honestly tell you he didn't have a purpose. No purpose in life. And you know when you've got no purpose and you don't know your use, you start to abuse everything. You start to abuse your marriage because you don't know what's use. And so you start to abuse the people that you're working with. Another way to say that is abuse, by the way. Abuse. Because you don't know your purpose. But as soon as you discover your purpose, you go, oh, I get it. God has brought this into my life so that I can do something. I can make a dent on this side of eternity and actually bless our community, bless my family so that we can move forward. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you know when I think about our miracle offering, guys, this year, what is it specifically we're doing? Let me tell you what we're doing. We're enjoying all of this. We've got stage 2 being built. It's going to be magnificent. But let me tell you what I am purposely doing, and I'm going to let you in behind the curtains. Guys, we are not building a church for the people that are sitting in this room today. Oh, I'm so offended, Pastor Rich. No, because you should be joining me in that thought. Friends, it's not about us. There are people. There's a generation. There's another generation. It's your great-grandkids that are coming after us. What we are building in this place is not for us today. It's for the future generations of our church and for the church. Amen. And that's what we are building. I've got that in the forefront of my mind. Do you know, there was a king, and his name was King Hezekiah. One of the saddest verses I think you're ever going to read. The Bible says that he had some people who came to wish him good fortune because he was healed by God. And they came to see him. And when they came to see him, wait, listen to this. When they came to see him, he started to show them all the treasures of his kingdom. All the treasures. That's not why they came. They actually came to say, wow, how did God heal you? He doesn't talk about God once. All he does is he shows them the kingdom that he has built. Prophet Isaiah says to him, listen, because you've done that, they are going to come. This is what he says. That nation is going to come. They're going to completely destroy your nation now. Because all you did was show them the treasure, but you didn't show them your God. Wow. Right? So he prophesies and he says, listen, he says, your kids are going to be carried away into slavery. Yeah. That's what Isaiah prophesies to Hezekiah. Do you want to see Hezekiah's response? This is a king. Look at his response. Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, this message that you have given me from the Lord is good. Are you kidding me? How can that be good? For the king was thinking, at least there will be peace and security during my lifetime. What's he saying? You know what? I don't really care about future generations. As long as everything's good for me, as long as everything's going okay today in my family, I don't really care about future generations. Friends, that's not the heartbeat of Lifehouse. We do care about the future generations. I care about you. I care about your family. I care about your schools. We want to see our community. Come on, let's give the Lord a huge round. We want to see our nation continue to be reached. Do you want to hear a really sad fact? It's a sad fact. And today's a happy day. But let me give you a sad fact. I'm a part of the ACC. I also know what's going on within the Baptist movement, the Uniting Church movement. I know what's going on pretty much around the country when it comes to church planting and where churches are at because it's what I do for a living, okay? Do you know often there will be two churches, often there's 20, but let's say there's two churches. Both of them have got 150 people in them. Both of them don't have a pastor. Both of them, let's say. Do you know what where the stats are at? When a pastor, if there's only one pastor for those two churches, do you know which church the pastor wants to take on and which one he says, I don't want to take it on? There was one determining factor. It wasn't the size of the crowd, because often they actually choose the smaller church. There was one factor that made the biggest difference. Can anyone have a guess? I know it's not class, but you can just have a quick guess. The building. The building. Yep. If you're a young pastor, you want to take a church forward, and there's a congregation of 200 people, or there's a congregation of 100. This one's got a building. These guys don't. The pastor chooses that building. Why? Because he thinks to himself, I can work off that. I can work through that. I can move much quicker, faster. You know what that tells me about this church? This church usually falls apart, and it usually disintegrates. And they go to other places. They don't go to hell or anything, okay? They just go to other churches. Do you know what that tells me? If we want our churches to endure and to stay strong, not just for our generation, but for the ones after and the ones after that, then we've got to invest in some buildings. Yep, we absolutely... Why? Because when that building is there, people sometimes will just simply come there into that space because they have an affinity with that actual space. And we will drive past buildings. Come on, some of you have driven past buildings where churches are still there. They're 200 years old. They're 150, but the church isn't on fire, but the church is still there. So come on, if we're going to future-proof our church, we can't be meeting in temporary halls right across the world. East Campus, we don't want you in that building forever and ever and ever. Amen. We want you in buildings. We want Poznan in buildings. Why? Because we want to future-proof our church right across this place. I've said it many times, when my time is done and it's your children that are rising up to the next, I don't want to hand over a lease. I don't want to, here guys, here's a lease of $250,000. Go ahead and try and pay that. Aren't we better off saying, here's a paid off building that you guys can now go stand on our shoulders, go do something great, go and take on the world. What are we doing? We're buying fields, literally, so that Jesus can find his treasure in Jesus' name. And you know what? I know sometimes, that's not very popular. You know, we should just be doing stuff for the community. We are. But you know, the bigger and bigger and bigger our church gets, guys, you've got to be able to house these people. We've got to be able to care for them. The local church is still the hope of the world, friends. We're going to be building, planting 10 churches in 10 years. That's our vision. That why? Because it brings hope. It brings joy. It brings everything that we know is going to build someone's life. And this is a statement that I want to make to you really, really clearly today. Friends, not everything that comes to you is for you. And some of you, I've seen you grow and grow and prosper. Some of you have started a business that even I was looking at it thinking, how is that ever going to work? And all of a sudden you're flourishing and God is... I wonder if there's a God in heaven that says, I need you to flourish because I want to bring things to you that's not always for you. Actually, let me word it to you this way. God will sometimes bring things to you if he can get it through you. Amen. I really believe that God is going to start making some businesses triple. But God is saying, but at what point does it get through you and not just stay with you? Amen. That's what we're doing for today, guys. You know, you cannot be generous without God giving back. We know that. Proverbs 11:25 says, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also himself be watered. Do you know, on a day like today, can I be really, really clear? By the way, if you're here for the first time, you're thinking, wow, this is all about the miracle offering. It is, with no apology. No apology, because I want to see our church move forward rapidly. Now listen, we've got enough vision to last us a lifetime. We've got leaders that are rising up all over the place. The only thing we need to couple the vision with is provision. It's the only thing slowing us down, friends. There's so much more we could be doing, but we just need to invest in the field so that Jesus can continue to find his treasure. Amen? Do you know, there's a statement that we make, and it's the absolute truth. Now, let me just throw this out there. If Lifehouse is your home, even if it's not, to be honest, I'm going to throw it out there. We've always believed that it's equal sacrifice, not equal giving. Equal sacrifice. What would it take for it to be a sacrifice for you? What would it take? Let me tell you why that's important for us to say. Because some of you would say, Pastor Richard, to be honest, $5 is a sacrifice. Awesome. Awesome. God bless you. The greatest thing I want to see is I just want to see that everybody's involved. Why? Because the Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And to be honest, it's not the treasure that we're after. We're actually wanting your heart. If we've got your heart, we've got everything. If God's got your heart, he's got everything. And I just want to see that you're actually fully engaged, that you love God, and that you want to see his kingdom move forward. Sometimes people say to me, oh, Pastor Rich, wouldn't it be great if one person just wrote a $1 million check? I go, yeah, not really. I'd rather 1,000 people contributing to make up the million, to be honest. That actually gives me more joy because it means that there's 1,000 people engaged. Amen. So today, can you not just think to yourself, oh, you know what? It's not really for me. I'm young. I'm a student. I've only got $2.80. Well, you know what? Would it be a sacrifice to give $2? It actually would. There's your sacrifice today. And then for some of you, if you gave $200,000, it wouldn't even touch the sides. And you're like, is it a sacrifice or isn't it? That's all God's wanting today. It's not equal giving. It is equal sacrifice. Let's get to that place where we think, you know what, God? Why am I doing this? Because I actually believe in you. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Amen? Anyone sown into Bitcoin lately? Some of you have. One thing I discovered about Bitcoin, some of our staff started investing in Bitcoin. All of a sudden I noticed, man, they had the app on their phone. They were invested. See, wherever your treasure is, you can't help but start to pay attention to it because they were invested. Now, who knows whether it's going to pay off for them or not? Hopefully it will. But my point is this, wherever you start to sow, your heart goes there. It's not the other way around. It's not that your heart goes there and then you start to invest. That's actually, the Bible says it's the complete opposite of that. The Bible says you invest and then your heart follows. Amen.
Hi, I'm Richard Gabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.